This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's half time in the game between Arsenal and Bayern Munich. The first half didn't go as most of us expected, but it did teach us some interesting and valuable lessons that I believe, and keep fingers crossed, will be enough to see us through in the second leg in Germany. This is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show, joining you the morning after, the night before, the show in which we look back at yesterday's game and have a conversation about all of the incidents that went on during it. And despite it perhaps not being the result that we wanted, it certainly did not disappoint in delivering plenty of talking points, of which we're going to try and run through as many as we can. And we're going to try and chat about in a mature fashion, because I have a feeling that some of us are going to be a little bit divided on some of these decisions that went for and against us, and we'll try and break it down. But if you could drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on, I'd be incredibly appreciative. Please do. And I look forward to seeing plenty of you and seeing plenty of your comments as well in the chat box. Right. Damien, good morning to you, to Tony, to Jackie, to Darren, to Baba, to the Steve, MD, Mark, MD. We've got Peter, Barry, Paul, Steve, Errol, Robert, Temmy, Martin, Stephen, Adagoke, Kish, Roy, Matt G, Mr. Ree. Thank you so much, everybody, as always, for tuning in. It's incredibly humbling, as it always is. And as I say, we try and get to 1,000 likes every single morning on these shows. And I met a fair few people yesterday, actually, from the channel. A lot of people, I was walking toward the stadium, stopped to say hello. Sorry, I was in such a hurry. I was in one of those situations where the press lounge fills up so fast that if you don't get in there as quick as I did, which is around 6 o'clock, I was never going to get a table. And in fact, I managed to get the last one from the look of things, managed to get in there at just the right time. So thank you to everyone that stopped to say hello. Very kind of you indeed, and so nice to speak to so many of you. And sorry I couldn't stick around because I was in very much of a hurry. But yes, it was Arsenal 2, Bayern Munich 2 on the day. Not as good as we thought, but far from as bad as it could have been. This is how I've described the game overall. We went into this game, I think, maybe forgetting how we've played in Europe to some degree, especially against Porto. There's something about this Arsenal team that activates in the Premier League that just doesn't seem to activate in the Champions League. We have this difference of play style. I don't know if it's because the officiating is different or because the opponents are different. And Bayern obviously have been a side that have struggled this season, but by no means are a bad side. I couldn't help but think, my goodness me, we've underestimated. We've massively, massively underestimated the situation. We've underestimated the quality that they have. Kane, I know we hate the guy, but my goodness me, he can pass a ball. Leroy Sané was fantastic. Serge Gnabry was very, very good. Konrad Leimer was really solid, despite their defensive frailties and us taking a little bit of the mickey out of the likes of Eric Dier and De Ligt and Davies and on the right-hand side, Kimmich. Kimmich was excellent. Absolutely. I will talk about him a little bit more in a bit, but Bayern were very good. And maybe we were... people say they weren't that good. They didn't create loads, but I think they were really shrewd in how they approached the game. And if you can sometimes be shrewd, like, I think that the people that are saying that Bayern aren't that good are falling into the trap of the people that said Arsenal aren't that good at City. I think there is actually some interesting parallels between the approach tactically about how you go to an opponent and look to try and exploit their weaknesses. And Bayern did that effectively, just like we exploited some of City's own weaknesses when we went there. But thankfully, Arsenal were able, of course, to take the lead in the game through Bukayo Saka, which was the perfect start. You know, early in the game, inside the first 10 minutes, get an early goal. This is the first time we haven't lost a Champions League game in the quarter, a knockout Champions League first leg game. First time we've not lost one since I think 2011 or something like 11. It's either 11 years ago or since 2011. Something ridiculous. Our record in knockout games is just terrible. And Arteta, you know, still is lacking a win at home at the Emirates in a knockout Champions League game, kind of crazily. This record goes on. Away from home, we've got a much better record, ironically, and hopefully that will lean into our favour. But an excellent finish from Bukayo Saka to set us off. And at that point, you're thinking, wow, the stadium's on fire. Arsenal have got momentum. They're going to go forwards and get a second. And we should have had a second because Ben Wyatt missed a massive, massive opportunity to get the second. And had he scored that, I think, you know, the tie itself completely transforms. Arsenal can go on and do some very special things with a 2-0 lead, and Bayern might be a little bit more desperate. We can sit back a bit more. But we made mistakes, and sadly those mistakes, one of them being, of course, Ben White not taking this opportunity, the mistakes were punished. First of all, of course, giving the ball away cheaply and then being hit, a good ball in behind for Gnabry to finish. Raya, is there question marks about David Raya's goalkeeping in that situation? He managed to get a touch on the ball, of course, but his positioning, there's some question marks there, perhaps. Gnabry, of course, is a fantastic player. Some people are saying they're surprised he celebrated. I'm not. He's been at Bayern for however many years. You know, he's nearly 30, the kid now. You know, we think of him leaving Arsenal. He left Arsenal when he was like 19, 20 years of age, wasn't he? So I don't think people could be too annoyed at him doing a pretty subtle, just the classic celebration that he does. I don't think I could be too annoyed about that. And he got a good applause, actually, to be fair, when he came off. Some people decided to boo. I don't know, thin skin, I guess. But I was quite glad to see him get a clap from the fans as he went off the field, and he could be missing indeed for the second game. It sounds like he's got a bit of a hamstring problem. Alphonso Davies will also be missing for the next game because he's suspended. Declan Rice, by the way, didn't get a yellow, but needs to avoid a yellow in the second leg if indeed we make it to the semis. Otherwise, he will miss the first leg of the semis. But then, of course, the penalty and William Saliba, Leroy Sané. I was in a really frustrating position in the stadium, actually, from the point of a press position, because I was in a seat that didn't have a desk nor a TV to watch back highlights. So I was kind of relying on highlights that the guy next to me was using on his phone to watch back. And Kivior, of course, gets robbed of the ball and Sané's away. And Sané was probably their best player on the day. Really incisive, very quick and ultimately decisive in winning them a penalty, which Kane takes very, very well and slots it past Raya without too much of a problem whatsoever. And at that point, with the score at 2-1 and going in at half-time, there was a real feeling of, goodness me, it was strange. I think that the fact that there wasn't any away fans in there actually worked against us. We hypothesized about the idea that having the idea that we would face a team that didn't have any fans would go in our favour, I think ultimately did go against us because we had nothing to feed off of at all. We had nothing to feed off of whatsoever. But yeah, that moment, there was some frustration. Just picking up on Clark, who says, Kivior is trash, says Clark, against any half-decent winger. This is, by the way, despite the fact that he came on at half-time against Liverpool at 1-1 when we won the game, and he started against Manchester City, and we kept a clean sheet there. So Clark talking out his backside a little bit. But when it comes to the second half of Arsenal, obviously turned things around. But Joshua Kimmich, I thought, had an excellent game. And I do want to bring up Kimmich at this point because throughout the game, there was always going to be key battles. And we always looked at Gabriel Martinelli as something of a tool to get him behind and to kind of really utilize that left-hand side more effectively. And I think that when it comes to a player like Martinelli, is that you need to come up against defenders that are going to be a little bit more risky. And Kimmich is the most risk-averse defender that you're going to come up against. Excellent in terms of kind of the judging the player and judging how indeed they are going to move and what their next movement is going to be. And if we can land Joshua Kimmich in the summer, what a signing that would be for Arsenal. Not just for that right-back spot and potentially depth there, but also for the midfield. I'd absolutely love to see Kimmich join Arsenal, and I wanted to give him a shout out because he was absolutely fantastic and consistent throughout the game as well. Now, the goal that we scored, and I'm going to talk about all the big moments in the game after we've discussed the goals and the scoreline, so don't worry, we are getting there. I have said for quite some time that Leandro Trossard is the best finisher at Arsenal Football Club, and I think that he again demonstrated that. The amount of times he pops up in big games, in big moments and scores, be it against Chelsea away earlier this season, be it in the Porto home game, of course, just a few weeks ago, and now popping up with an equaliser in this game, having not started. There's part of me that thinks that he should start in the away leg. There's an argument, I really think there is an argument to suggest that if we get chances, you can rely on Trossard far more than anybody else in this. And from my perspective, I look at Trossard now as such a key figure, and he's someone that gets stick, he gets scrutiny if he starts games, and we think of him as being a really good impact player off the bench, but he started the game against Porto, of course, and scored such an important goal there as well. He's just so good in terms of getting it. When he's in the box in those moments, he could have got a winner against City, perhaps. Of course, it was a tougher chance, his toughest one, but he's the only one who really managed a proper shot on target against City in that game. But Trossard is such a key player for us, such a huge presence for us. And I think he continues to step himself up, and give him a shout out in terms of putting himself forward to be a potential starter. And, you know, against a player like Kimmich, I think he kind of negates what Martinelli offers. Maybe it'll be different in the other leg. And maybe it'll be stylistically better for Martinelli playing away from home when Bayern should dominate the ball somewhat more, you'd expect. But maybe we can talk about that at a later day. Let's talk about the big incidents of the game. And, you know, I know that everyone's talking about Saka and the penalty that we should or shouldn't have had, and we will come on to that. But the first incident I want to discuss is actually how we are incredibly lucky. So lucky. Because Bayern should have had a penalty. All day long, Bayern Munich should have had a penalty. You can talk about this, and the, Thomas Tuchel came out after the game and suggested the referee's explanation as to why Gabriel was not penalised was because it's, you know, a kid's mistake. But you watch the replays back. The referee blows his whistle very loudly. Raya passes the ball to Gabriel out of his box at the six-yard area. You have to pass that ball forwards. And you can see it's an intentional pass there from Raya. And Gabriel picks the ball up and puts it back. I'm sorry, but anyone that says that this isn't a penalty, you are leaning into your bias hugely, massively. There is no way, if this was the other way around, we would be fuming, absolutely apoplectic if this was the other way around. Because, and you know, the Saka one, I think there's some debate to be had, and we'll have that debate shortly. There is no debate on this one at all. It's hugely fortunate, and I think perhaps maybe in the grand scheme of things, the game may level itself out with the decisions that went for and against both teams. Because Arsenal, and I think the scoreline at this point is 2-1 Bayern. A 3-1 scoreline would be disastrous for Arsenal. Huge, huge error from Gabriel. And by the way, there's going to be an interview coming out with Eric Dier a little bit later on today that I spoke to Eric Dier after the game. And I won't say too much because all of it's embargoed, of course. But at midday today, look out for that. Because at the time, I was absolutely oblivious that this happened, and it will absolutely come up, and you'll see why a little bit later on today. Right, penalty. This is, for me, one of the hardest situations from my perspective. I've watched this from different angles, in slow motion and at full speed, about 50 times. My instinct at the time was penalty. And I couldn't believe it had not been given on the pitch because it just seemed the contact was so obvious. I watched it back a number of times. And my instinct when watching it back is that what Saka does is he makes it harder. He gives the referee a reason not to give it. And what I mean by that is that for me, he exaggerates his movement with his right leg towards Neuer. Now, the argument from a lot of people is that the momentum and the speed that he is running at means that his leg naturally is going to flail that way when he changes direction. In my opinion, I think it shouldn't go that far out. But then Neuer's movement in his direction towards Saka also makes it as if like he has got a big part to play. A lot of people feel, and especially a lot of people within the game, Ian Wright tweeting out afterwards, he didn't think it was a penalty. T-Volution here saying, pointing out as well, that Thierry Henry didn't think it was a penalty. Two incredibly, Arsenal-leaning people there saying they don't think that is. After the game, and in the aftermath of the game, I certainly was leaning towards it not being a penalty. This morning, I've woken up, watched it more, and this morning I've been able to watch it in real time. And I'm completely torn at this stage. I think it's one where when I say I'm completely torn, I'm not in the, it's 100% a penalty. It's no debate. But I'm no longer in the, I don't think I'm any longer in the camp of it's 100% not a penalty. Saka absolutely initiates the contact because I think Neuer's movement, there is something in that. I think there is something in the movement of Neuer as well in this that needs to be discussed. I think where we have to sit with this is that if the referee gives it, VAR is not overturning it. And I think on the other side, what we have to sit and look to is that if the referee doesn't give it, which he didn't, VAR is never going to give it. And that's the world of football that we live in at the moment. That's the world of football that we're sitting in right now, is that VAR exists supposedly not to re-referee games. And if the ref doesn't give it, it's never going to be overturned. But if the ref gives it, it's also not going to be overturned. It's strange. I absolutely see why people are frustrated. I absolutely understand why people are very adamant that it's clearly a penalty. I think that from my perspective, Saka does maybe perhaps too much in this scenario to give the referee a reason not to give it. In my honest opinion, I think Saka 5 years older, is probably maybe a little bit more astute. Just takes the ball around Neuer and shoots and scores, and then we're not even having this conversation. But it's absolutely going to be one that I think most Arsenal fans will be absolutely clamoring for a penalty, understandably. So I also try and, as always, put this on the other side of things. If this was the other way around, I think most of us would be saying that the other player, say if this was Kane or Vardy, and Vardy's obviously known for a lot of kind of initiating contact, I think it was the other way around. Maybe we would be saying that Arsenal fans might be more inclined to be like, yeah, I think the players initiated the contact there. So it could be our biases creeping in some stage. It's very difficult. I don't think it's as clear cut as some people do. But if he had have given it, I would have expected it not to have been overturned. So it's intriguing. It's an interesting one. By the way, I also don't really understand people's anger at people voicing a different point of view. I'll tell you what, I tweeted it out yesterday saying that did Saka initiate the contact? The abuse. You put out an opinion. It's football. At the end of the day, it's a football. It's football. Way more to life than it. I really don't get why people get so abusive towards one another just for voicing a different opinion to somebody else. It's very strange behaviour. I think people need to grow up. But in regards to the Harry Kane situation, this is a red card. There's no debate on this one at all. There's no debate on the Gabriel one. I think there's a bit of a debate on the Saka one. There is no debate about this. This is a red card. It's assault is what it is. Absolutely. Kane knows exactly what he's doing. And he has this trait, this characteristic of looking towards players and then doing something silly. When he was in the Premier League, he used to do this thing where, in an aerial duel, he'd turn around, look to where the player is, back into them, so they're then dangerously... I think even Gabriel was on the receiving end of one of these situations previously as well. I'm pretty sure that he was. And it's so dangerous. But in this situation, Kane looks behind him, sees where Gabriel is, and then launches an elbow back into Gabriel. It's intentional. it's just serious foul play. Like, there is absolutely no debate about this. It is a red card. And I think that there was, I think Sky Germany, I heard a few people who were watching from a Sky Germany side of things on their punditry side said they were surprised that they didn't get a red card for this. But they were very, very surprised that indeed he was, and he only got a yellow card. I mean, if the referee gives a yellow card here, he absolutely recognises that a foul has occurred. And so in the manner that that foul has been executed, it's definitely, it crosses over into serious foul play, 100%. So, yeah, for me, the three big calls on the day, the referee gets two of them definitely wrong and maybe gets the Saka penalty wrong as well. So there's the referee had an absolute nightmare. He tried to let the game kind of play. He tried to let the game kind of play out as much as feasibly possible throughout the game, which I liked. But when it comes to the big, big calls, he got them wrong. Now, ultimately, they have it's profited us in some way, because without question, the Gabriel situation deserves a penalty. I said the other week, I think the West Ham goal against Newcastle, when the referee allows the play to play on despite there being a head injury, no matter what people think about whether or not he should, it was a brush of Fabian Scher's face. It's a head injury. It's in the rules. Like, it's just a letter of the law. Like, you stop play, there's a head injury. That was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen. The Gabriel situation is the worst refereeing decision I've ever seen. And this is coming from an Arsenal supporter myself. It is one of the worst refereeing decisions I have ever seen in my life. To blow the whistle so blatantly, to witness a handball so obviously in such a high-profile game. And if indeed Tuchel is telling the truth that the referee said that, like, it's a kid's mistake, at this level, you don't forgive. There's no forgiveness. There's no buffers. There's nothing to stop. You know, there's nothing. It's the highest on a Sunday league, sure. Sunday league game, absolutely. Spirit of the game and all that. But not in the Champions League. Absolutely not in the Champions League. No chance. Dearie, dearie me. Right, let's go to part two and your questions. I imagine there's going to be quite a few right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let's go into the chat. This, I imagine, could be quite interesting. Alex says, Tom, did you see the Kane interview where Arsenal fans were trolling Kane with the anti-Spurs chants? Yeah, I don't know what he expected. He turned around and said that he felt like there's a mild respect now for him. There's not. There's no respect. There's no respect from Arsenal fans toward Harry Kane. I don't know what he was talking about there. Daniel says, is it right that this is the referee's first Champions League game? I don't know if it is. Maybe that was telling, but yeah, not for me. Vera says, bottom line is that it was an uncharacteristic performance and it felt like the occasion got to Arsenal, but Bayern looked very susceptible at the back and we have all the tools to go through. And this is a great point. I'm glad that Viraj is kind of bringing the conversation back to the football, which is quite nice. So thanks for that, Viraj, because we can get already whipped up in all of the decision-making. At the end of the day, what's done is done. And so from that perspective, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the club and I'm looking at where we can go from here. And I am very optimistic. You know, I'm very optimistic about the second leg. Bayern are definitely susceptible, but you're right, Viraj. There was something about the fact that we aren't really necessarily in a position to to expect, I guess, so much in our first Champions League return in so many years. There was huge expectation about this. The way in which we've put ourselves on this pedestal at the top of the Premier League table, how competitive we've been, we are expecting as fans. We expect a lot. We expect, in fact, to go through. And I think Arsenal and fans and I put us down as favourites. And I would still say we're favourites going to the second leg. And I will be disappointed if we go out to Bayern Munich because I think we are better. I think we are a better team. And on our day, I know that we can beat absolutely anyone in the world with this side because we are that good. But there is a naivety. I think there is there's something about the occasion, if you like. And I think that's potentially blocking. Yes, definitely blocking that. And I'm looking at this situation and I'm really optimistic and hopeful. But there's in the Porto games, there's definitely a lack of, as Matt says here, of European know-how. And that comes with experience. You know, think about how long it took Pep Guardiola to win the Champions League with Man City. It's about all of that experience, all of those Premier League title wins with Man City, how long it took to win a Champions League. There's some nous and know-how that we're clearly lacking. If we get past Bayern, it's a brilliant achievement. But the other game, of course, Man City, Real Madrid, really tied up at 3-3. Amazing game as well. So it shows you the level. And it's going to be very interesting to see how we go. There was something about the game yesterday, I thought, that we were trying to win it in some ways kind of desperately. And I think maybe that actually played into it as well. The idea that in the Porto game, if you remember, we tried to win it at the end where maybe we should have been happy with a 0-0. And that it is only half time. And I think it's easily forgotten that it's only halfway through the tie. And Koeman could have very easily scored, you know, at the end as well. Zinchenko playing him onside, playing Musiala, I think it was onside at the end as well. And it was very close that we did it. We may have tried a little, as Mikey says here, we may have tried too hard. And we're just lacking a little bit that composure. Ghostbuster says Arsenal fans are arrogant. We didn't learn from Porto. It's absolutely not arrogance. I hate that word. It's really misused. It's naivety is what it is. Naivety is the word. It's not arrogance. It's absolute naivety. to expect us to be as good. But it's ironic because I think the people that would call us arrogant are the same people that also expect and are entitled. There's an element of entitlement around it as well. Jonathan says, experience. Arsenal will be such a better team next year. Keep them together as a young team and they'll be on for honours. Amika says, most strikers try to win a penalty. Sometimes it works and other times it doesn't. This is just half of the contest. Let's prepare for the second match and improve our performance. We have a chance. Zoomtar says, I'm really unimpressed with Arteta for not putting Tomiyasu on. He definitely should start the next game. That's not to say that he should have started this one over Kivior. The fact, like, someone calling him trash earlier. And by the way, you know, we always say that everything's about respect and stuff like that, respecting people's opinions. And you would have heard me respond to that by saying, I think that someone's talking about their backside, calling Kivior trash. If you'll turn around and say the words, you know, I think there are question marks about Kivior's performances and he wasn't good enough and this is why, I've absolutely got no problem with that. If you want to start turning around abusing players, calling them trash, XYZ, when they've put in absolute shifts for us in huge games, you can do one as far as I'm concerned. You know, that doesn't show respect to the player, calling them trash. It's about being that respect and being actually be able to explain that point of view. Clive says, sometimes you have to let the game come to you. And we were too desperate to smash them. Spaces everywhere on transition. It's absolutely spot on. There was like, we allowed kind of our, is it hubris might be a good word. Again, I think arrogance is too far. Hubris might be a better term. It was just something about the desperation, as Clive points out, to win it. And when we went 1-0 up, I think maybe that was the thing. Galactic says, Kivior ain't ready. I'm sorry. I don't know where this Kivior stuff. People flip-flop all day long on views. Like, it's up and down, up and down, up and down. In January, people were telling me that we shouldn't have sold Lino Sousa, a kid who's now on loan at Plymouth, and we should have kept him and got rid of Kivior. And fast forward 2 months, Kivior's come on against Liverpool at 1-1, putting a great performance against Liverpool, and we've gone on to win that game 3-1. He starts in our most important game of the season at Manchester City, despite playing 210 minutes for his country in the week prior, puts in a really good shift defensively. We get a clean sheet. Yes, he comes off in the second half, only because he's absolutely fatigued and shattered. And yet, I look at I look at some of the reactions and it's childlike. It's absolutely childlike, some of the reactions that I see on platforms saying he's trash, he's this, he's that. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Like Benny saying here, Kivior is ready, just not for this level of winger. He's gone up against Liverpool and Man City and not conceded. I don't get it. I really don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. James says, frustrating thing is Saka could have kept his feet and shot at a keeperless goal. Goes to ground too often. Picks up an unnecessary knocks. Improvement area, maybe. He's a young kid at the end of the day still, James. Saka's incredibly young still in his career. You look at Jack Grealish, for instance, now. There are players that get kicks, players that get battered, players that get taken down. And as you get more experience, you learn how to ride those challenges better. You learn how to take those challenges better. And it will come in time from Saka. He's not perfect. To expect him to be the perfect article now goes too far, I think, from Saka. And that's why. I want to do some quick member shout-outs. Elroy, thank you so much for becoming a brand new member, if not or an extended one already. Thank you so much. Welcome to the TTT community. Backer Lasagna says, has been a member for 16 months now. Says, I said this was going to be a tough game, and you were certainly right. Mr. Reese says, our waveform is even better this season, says Mr. Reese. Been a member for 9 months. Come on, you gooners. Absolutely. And Ethan says, we need to remember that Bayern need to score a goal to win this tie. Set the low block, frustrate them and hit them on the counter. We've got this. And Ethan's now been a member for 13 months on the channel as well. Thank you so much for your kind support here. And Junsar says, give a shout out to Ben White, which I thought was the best player. His recovery on Leroy Sané, again, another moment which really could have cost us. Again, up, absolutely brilliant. Sucks he didn't score. Sucks he didn't take the chance that he had, but yeah, as well. And Owen says, why is Martin Ødegaard the most beautiful footballer in the history of football to watch? Not the best, but my God, he is a joy to watch in full flow. I loved Alex from the Different Knocks tweet. In fact, I'm going to find it after the game because I think it was a perfect illustration of what people forget to look for in games and you get caught up in the occasion. About Ødegaard, he says, it'll go under the radar, but Ødegaard was superb this evening. If we'd won, everyone would be raving about it. Dropping outside of the block as an option, one of our only players with a real understanding of when to attack. Passing was crisp and accurate. Just so good. He won so many key duels. There was a key duel just outside the box in the second half. He won that was massive. Martin Ødegaard was brilliant. Captain's performance all day long. And I really, really, really love kind of the fact that people like Alex was and has picked up on that, because Ødegaard was stunning once again. And Peter says Ødegaard played a huge role with the white tackle on Sané. He's a work ethic and work rate in this game. He was getting frustrated, actually. I noticed he was getting a bit frustrated with Bukayo Saka. And I think it's important that, you know, we do keep the press and we do keep pushing. And I think it's going to be important going forwards that he does continue to encourage his teammates to do what needs to be done, which was to continue the energy and keep it up, because he is an example. He is without question an example to follow. And hopefully we can sign more players in the summer that then, you know, really do lean into that same level of that same level of excitement, that same level of talent and just motivation to do what needs to be done as well. And Ødegaard epitomises everything to do with, in my view, Arteta's Arsenal, which is energy, class, accuracy, standards and expectation, you know. And I think it's important moving forwards that we continue to look at Ødegaard as the example, as the option. And that's what we should be absolutely striving to try and achieve. Moving to another comment, Justin Case says, Mr. Canton is utilising a rather extensive English vocabulary in his communications today. Indubitably, I am. I do enjoy some high-level vocab. Z says, Tom, how was the pre-match checking getting to the stadium? Was there any extra police? Did all the fans get inside the Emirates on time? Of course, I go through a different entrance to fans because I go through the media entrance. There was definitely more security around and things like that. I always say at the end of the day, high-profile events are always going to get that kind of attention. There's always going to be threats. There's always going to be stuff that goes on like that. You can't live your lives in fear. You know, if you live your lives in fear, then these people win. So everyone in the stadium was very calm. The atmosphere is very calm. during the game, some fireworks went off in the background. I don't know if people noticed or saw that, but there were some fireworks going off, like on the over behind the East Stand. And, you know, even that didn't necessarily put anyone on edge or anything like that. You just got to live your lives, you know, you just got to keep living. And you can't let yourself be, you know, shackled to the possibilities of what ifs and fears. So, yeah, we move. That's for sure. That's not a very nice comment. Let's go to HB, who says, rules are to be interpreted by the referee. If Bayern have a free kick and a player kicks a ball to Neuer to take a free kick and he picks it up, it would have never been given as a back. It would never be given as a back pass. The rules are to be interpreted by the ref. No, HB. The rules are to be implemented by the referee. The referee is there to implement the rules, not to interpret the rules. There are some times where decisions are subjective, but at the end of the day, the referee is there to implement the rules. And when you blow your whistle and your goalkeeper plays the ball out and the ball moves forward, by the rules, the ball is live. And so therefore, you cannot pick that ball up categorically. There's no debate about the Gabriel situation. We're incredibly lucky that that didn't get given against us. Alison says, why is nothing being said about Saliba's mistake? That's fair. You know, if we want to pick it up, Saliba needs to be a bit more composed. Again, young defender, you know, and I guess because we got it back and we got the scoreline back in our favour by the end of the game. Well, I say in our favour, you know, we got it back level. Saliba, I think, obviously, is in terms of the two centre-halves, Gabriel has definitely been the more consistent defender over the course of the season, the more impressive defender over the course of the season. That's a credit to Gabriel, because Saliba is still excellent. Absolutely excellent. So there you go. Suntas says, Kane was not unreal. Chill out. I disagree. I thought Kane was excellent. His passing, the way in which he drops in and flicks the ball in behind the wingers, his execution of passing for a centre-forward is probably the best in the world. I know we hate the guy because he's Spurs. I get it. But I really try and come from an analytics perspective, an unbiased perspective when looking at opposition players at times and kind of judge them. I get people want to hate on them. I know people don't want to appreciate them because of the Spurs links. Eric Dier got a lot of stick, played very well. You know, we've been giving him a lot of stick on the channel and, you know, having a bit of a laugh about Eric Dier. But again, had a decent, a second half in particular was good. Had a couple of mistakes in the first half, to be fair, but he was again better than I think people expected him to be based upon what we've come to expect as well. Harry says the fireworks would have been due to the end of Ramadan. So there you go. Thank you for educating me on that, Harry. You're very, very true. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. And for those that celebrated Ramadan, I hope that it was a good time for you. Ozzy Guna says, Tom, one question. Has there ever been a penalty in the whole history of football for what Big Gabby did? No idea. Haven't seen every single game in the history of football, mate. So I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. Benny, thank you so much for the kind super chat. Benny says, Tom, question, would you play Jorginho in the second leg, even though Partey should be off? Even though Partey should start, but is off form. I think there's a good shout for Jorginho not to start the next game. And I think... I think that Jorginho at City was a really good, example of maybe when the opposition are more dominant of the ball, that he can be a little bit redundant. He attempted 15 passes, completed 10 of them against City. Maybe it's better we put Rice in that number six role at... put Rice in that number six role at Bayern and use maybe... I don't like Havertz in midfield. There's just something about it I really don't like. Partey may be playing ahead, but then I think Rice is the better eight compared to Partey. So it's very, very interesting. Damien says, I loved Partey's yellow card. Very important yellow card. Very, very good yellow card. It actually got an applause from the crowd as well. Do we need to go with a six and an eight? Isn't there an argument that we go double pivot? You know, is there an argument that the structure of the midfield three potentially changes and you play Rice and Partey and just have a free Ødegaard ahead of them? We always assume, you know, that we have to stick to this structure of a 6-8-8. Maybe we reconfigure and do 6-6-10, 8/10 in terms of Ødegaard. Maybe that's the way forwards for this game. There's this assumption that we have to be so rigid in how we set up. and we have to stay this same formation every game, it makes you predictable to some degree. It gives you the teams, it gives teams information, it gives teams more time to prepare, it gives teams more, you know, insight. I think maybe structurally we could potentially change the midfield and go with a double pivot at the back in Partey and Rice and allow Ødegaard to be something of a free man in the middle. Maybe one of them can be a little bit more, but I'm not sure. Leo says, where is my members? But I don't know, Leo. It's nothing to do with what I've done. You might need to chase that up with YouTube, but I have absolutely no idea where your members' patch has gone. Emily says, don't you think that when Neuer tripped Saka, it should have been a penalty? We've kind of touched upon it already, Emily. I absolutely see both sides of the argument on both. I think there's weight on both sides of it, in short. I think the best way to sum up that decision is, if the ref gives it, VAR doesn't overturn it. But with the ref not giving it, I don't think VAR overturns it, and it didn't. So Nicholas says, Tom, does the UEFA or the FA ever retrospectively penalise players for violent fouls? In the NBA, if a ref misses something like Kane's elbow, the league will step in and suspend the player for future matches. Is there any kind of VAR in NBA for those types of calls? I don't watch NBA, but my assumption is no, there's not. And the reason why that therefore is different to football is because now we have VAR. There's no retrospective action really when it comes to these things, because the VAR sees, or is supposed to at least see, all of it. The only thing you get retrospectively is apologies. We talked about this, I think, on either yesterday or the day before yesterday's show. And so because of that, you don't tend to get it. People in chat were saying there is like VAR in NBA type of things. But so if somebody elbowed someone in the NBA, would they get, I don't know what the term would be, do they get sent off? If VAR is deemed in the NBA for them to have committed a violent act, if they don't, why? The rulings must be different. So in the Premier League, it has always been the case before VAR that if the referee sees an incident and includes it in their match report, no retrospective action can be taken in terms of kind of a retrospective ban. But because there's VAR now, I think those rules mean that because VAR can see and assess everything, you don't get retrospective bans if indeed serious foul play is even mistakenly not being given. So, yeah, I mean, Pratica says here, violent fouls, Maddison last week with the gut punch on, who was it, Yates, I think, from Forest. You're never going to get retrospective action because the VAR has assessed it and they've deemed it not to be serious foul play and they don't overrule it. It's different sports. But, yeah, it's not the case. Ben says, violent technical foul, type 2, and they'd get ejected, fined, and could be banned. Okay, so, but what if it's missed? In basketball, is there ever a situation where the video review misses violent conduct, and then despite the existence of video review, they retrospectively ban the player? Does that happen? It's a different sport, so there's going to be different rules in terms of reviews. So, but in terms of football, my understanding of the rules is if it's things that are seen now, because VAR sees it all, retrospective action doesn't tend to be taken. So yeah, the video review says they will step in. So if the video review steps in, it's going to act upon it. It's not going to miss it. Whereas this one, it seems that it happens. But yeah, it's a different sport. So there's going to be differences between how things are dealt with post-match. So yeah. Hashtag Danny says, correct me if I'm wrong, VAR in the Premier League can tell the ref to come and check, but VAR in the Europe won't do that. Only the ref is given the choice to check and not check. Again, I'm not 100% sure on that, Danny. One to Google. Jabu says, why are we playing on Sunday when we played on Tuesday? I'm a little annoyed that we have less recovery time. Jabu, that's because Aston Villa play on Thursday. So we have to play on Sunday. Because Aston Villa play on Thursday. So that's why that game has been moved to the Sunday. If you play Thursday, you don't play Saturday. That's how it works. Chin Ho says, the fact that Kane keeps getting away with ridiculous fouls and violent conduct all the time is scandalous. He's been able to do it time after time after time. The Global House says, I noticed there was no clock counting down for extra time. Is that normal? It was my first time at a game. It made the end of the game even more confusing and chaotic. Yes, for European games, you don't get the clock moving past the 45th and 90th minute. In the Premier League and domestic cup competitions in England, you do. But in European games and UEFA games, you don't. The clock is different for those games. Kieran says, excuse me, only 300 likes. We're better than that. Please smash the like button. Please do. Look, hey, if you've not agreed with my views, that's absolutely fine. You're entitled to, because 99% of you have been respectful about it. No problem whatsoever. And that's what makes this community great. And just because you disagree with me doesn't mean you don't have to not drop a like on the video. Please do help and show support to the channel. It means a lot when you do. So thank you for those of you that have and that will do so. Of course, if you're listening on catch up, of course, you can drop a like. If you're listening on Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. If you're listening on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. That would really, really help us out. Kerry says, hi, Tom. I think we should have had two in the role of the sixes, Partey and Rice together, and hope Tomiyasu is used, even though I believe Kivior is good enough to play. I just believe Tommy can give more support on the left. I think Tomiyasu probably should start against Bayern away from home. That's probably the better choice on the day. T-Volution says, Tom, do you foresee any hangover against Villa? I just hope that sour, frustrating end to the game doesn't cause a bit of a hangover. Well, Aston Villa, of course, are going to be playing tomorrow as well. So they'll have even less. They're at home to Lille in the UEFA Conference League. So, and they don't have Douglas Luiz for a game against us either. So there could be some hangover from their game. It's worth pointing out. They were awful against Manchester City. So, yeah, there you go. Right, let's go to Bakary Lasagna. Says Danny Murphy coming out talking about his addictions post-career. He's so dull. Imagine how boring he'd have been in that situation. I mean, I don't think that's very nice to downplay someone coming out and talking about their addictions, to be honest, Lasagna. But each their own. But I personally, if someone comes out and speaks about an addiction to something, I'd be pretty supportive of them personally. Not to target you on that, but I just disagree in how you approach those things. Joel says, Tom, do you think that with 11 games to go, potentially, that this result is a good starting point to navigate our journey? Without question, Joel, this is a really good result in terms of the momentum side of things, because you need to keep that going. You know, if we'd have been beaten here going into that Villa game, it would have really been a dent to our confidence. I think the fact that we got back into this game and that we had to like fight back against it, it's really important that we did do that. And so the momentum that we've continued to build up is also key. And Nathan says, playing Bayern was a massive reality check on where we need to be in the Champions League. Quality-wise, we were level, but they were a much more mature, experienced and level team in their performance. I mean, to be fair, having a look at these teams, right? Having a look at the sides that played on the day, you notice things immediately. Neuer, one of the most experienced goalkeepers around, has been at Bayern and won Champions Leagues with them. Joshua Kimmich, again, serial winner, Champions League winner, very experienced German international. Matthijs de Ligt has been to the semi-finals of the Champions League with Ajax. He's gone to Juventus, played in Serie A, won a title there. He's gone to Bayern, won a title there. Incredibly experienced. Eric Dier, questions. But they've got Upamecano and Kim Min-jae, of course, on the bench as well. I think probably may come in, although Derek Dier probably did enough to keep his place. Alphonso Davies probably moving to Real Madrid in the summer. Young player, though, to be fair to him. Leon Goretzka, another really experienced serial winner. German international. Konrad Leimer, another experienced player in his mid-20s now. Has played at Leipzig, of course. Has got experience of playing European football year on year on year at the top level with both Leipzig and now Bayern. Leroy Sané, Manchester City, Germany, Bayern, won things. Serial performer in the Champions League. Serge Gnabry, serial goal scorer in the Champions League. Jamal Musiala, one of the best young players in the world. And then Harry Kane up front, you know. And although Harry Kane's experience of winning trophies may not be there, he's certainly a serial player in terms of playing at the top, top level and being one of the top strikers around. And you compare that to Arsenal, of course, and we've got a lot of young players. We've got a lot of inexperienced players in terms of the Champions League. It is night and day. And so that is important to factor in. I think the way in which we came back, and it was an experienced player in Trossard, of course, that helped us to do that. The way in which we responded in the second half was really, really good. And coming back and not losing this game was really important. And we've given ourselves a platform to go to Dortmund, to go to Munich and hopefully get a really, really important result. I'm going to end the show there. Thank you so much for the kind comments and thank you so much for the thoughts on this. Let us know in the comment section down below your explanations. If you disagree with anything, do leave your explanations. I always do enjoy reading through them and I try and respond to as many of them as I can. I imagine that today's views will have divided some and that's absolutely fine. That's what football is about. It's all about opinions at the end of the day. But thank you so much to all of you for tuning in. And I'll be back with you tomorrow morning to start the build-up to the game against Aston Villa on Sunday. We've actually got a little bit of a longer break for once. Guess what? We've got four whole days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday off. And then it's match day. Actually have a bit of a break. I know it's not a full week, but that's the reality of the situation at the moment. Because we've just got so many games coming thick and fast. Business end of the season. Lovely stuff. Lots of football to talk about. Of course, tonight's Champions League games. You've got PSG and Barcelona and Atletico Madrid and Dortmund. Arsenal don't really need to worry about too much about that. Of course, I don't be worrying about that until Arsenal were to make it all the way to the final. But more football to watch and certainly looking forward to it as well. Thank you so much for listening. Do drop a like on the video. Do subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. And yeah, I look forward to it. I will end the show by just saying that Boss says, Bear ignored all my questions. Just for the records, in the chat box, there is currently, and this is dropping because we're ending the show, there's over 1,000 people watching concurrently, Boss. I can't get to all of your questions. If I happen to miss them, I'm not ignoring you. You know, it's just the way the world works, sadly. So sorry that I missed your questions. I didn't miss that comment for the record. Please forgive me. With all of the love in your heart, please forgive me if I do happen to miss out. There's a lot of questions because there's a lot of people. And I'm very thankful to you all. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.